Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's a hip-hop mission impossible. Can two albums save an entire record industry? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later on the show, the string quartet known as Brooklyn Rider joins us for a live performance. Their latest piece is built on gypsy themes. But first...
I'm just saying how I feel, man. I ain't one of the Cosbys. I ain't go to Hill, man.
Today, two of hip-hop's biggest stars release their much-hyped new albums, Kanye West's Graduation and Curtis by 50 Cent. With album sales slumping and hip-hop sales positively in the gutter, the two men ginned up a war of words to boost sales and perhaps brighten the future of rap music for retailers. We'll ask two pop music critics if the albums have what it takes to save the music industry. Joining me in the studio is Sasha Frere Jones, pop music critic for The New Yorker, and on the phone is Greg Kot, pop music critic for the Chicago Tribune and co-host of Public Radio's Sounds Opinions. And gentlemen, to the two of you, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
Glad to be here.
Sasha, let me start with you. There's a lot of media hype here. Is it much ado about nothing? I mean, should we care? And if so, why?
Should we care? That's up to you. It depends on whether or not you are really worried about the music industry falling apart and collapsing, and whether or not you're really worried about 50 and Kanye and their bank statements. You know, I went to the Virgin Megastore in Times Square today to see some, you know, what were actual people doing in actual stores, and there was a complete throng of maybe five people, maybe four, with albums. Not all of them 50 and Kanye. A lot of them had Kanye. A couple had 50. And there was a, you know, a pre-made, printed, full color, I don't know what you call it, sort of a paper banner right above the two records saying, you know, you can help crown the undisputed champion. So looking at that printed banner, I thought, okay, somebody, you know, had a little bit of time to put this together. And, you know, Kanye has come out and said it was, the whole thing's been a stunt. And this is the record industry itself trying to get somebody to go to a store to buy something, I mean, at root. And then you can get to the merits of the two records, but really... This is about retail in the record industry, and it's not that much really about 50 and Kanye.
Well, there may have only been a handful of people at the Virgin Megastore this morning, but I mean, this morning was 9/11. It's mm-hmm. a Tuesday morning, as it was, you know, 6 years ago. I mean, a lot
as
of people
was.
Were, I think, probably not in the record buying mood early in the day. Greg Kot, do you think did it strike you as odd that the timing of this release would be on the anniversary of 9/11?
Yeah, it is odd, and I'm envious of Sasha that he actually had a record store to go to nearby to
yeah,
check
don't be
it
too
out,
envious.
The two big record stores in downtown Chicago are closed. Have closed in the last year, Tower and Virgin. So you know, this is a stunt. There's no doubt about it. 9/11. The irony of that is I don't even know if those two guys thought about that. They seem to think about everything else when it comes to marketing. Odd day to release simultaneously release those two records.
Sasha, you're thinking they did take this into account?
Oh yeah, definitely.
But wouldn't it play? I mean, the fact that you only saw five people in the Virgin Megastore, doesn't that sort of?
I don't know that the gravity of the day is prevent. I mean, it's not preventing anyone from buying coffee or going to Toys R Us. I mean, Times Square was full of people who were not, I think, in a particularly commemorative mood. I think they were just going about their business the way they would. And it's also, you know, it's an area where you have many tourists, so the people in that area would possibly be a little less attached to a New York-y feeling of grieving or whatever. And that's also, you know, 6 years down the road,
right?
I think a lot of people have, you know, their feelings have dimmed a bit. But anyway, I think it must have struck at least one of them that, hey, this is a day that people, you know, there's a lot of significance about this day. Let's just add that on to the, you know, pile that onto our hype machine.
All right. So Kanye West, 50 Cent, both releasing much hyped new records today. And despite what may or may not have been happening in the retail stores, online at Amazon, currently Kanye West number one and 50 Cent number five.
Yeah, not surprising.
Greg, 50 had said that he was going to retire if he couldn't outsell Kanye West. How seriously do we take that?
I don't take anything 50 says seriously unless it's about making money. You know, if he could make more money retiring, I'm sure he'd do that. you know, he did that as a stunt. Kanye publicly thanked him. He had a listening party in Chicago and said, "I want to thank Kanye for, or 50 for doing all my work for me because he got all you guys to write about it." The album's coming out, so everybody knows the release date of our albums now. So I think it's a manufactured feud. I think it's very reminiscent of what Blur and Oasis were going through in the whole Britpop boom in the mid-90s UK, where they were staging these kind of events. You know, we'll get to number one. No, I'm number one. No, you're number one. You know, and it got everybody all in a big brouhaha. The weeklies were all writing about it, and it basically focused attention on the release date of albums, and it was almost beyond the content. It wasn't about content. It was about personality, celebrity, money, marketing, all the stuff that has nothing to do with music.
Mm. Well, we do want to talk about content, so why don't we hear a little bit? First, from 50 Cent's record, it's called Curtis. That is, of course, his birth name. And this song features Justin Timberlake.
It's right here for see it, break it down. Yeah. I'm ballin', blowin' money around.
She a work girl, she work the pole. She break it down, she take it low. She find it, she bout the dough. She doing a thing out on the floor. Her money, money, she make it, look at the way. She shake it, make you want to touch it, make you want to taste it. How you lustin' for it, going crazy, facing now, don't stop. Get it, the way she shake it, make you want it. Then she double joint it from the way she split it, got your from the way she did it, she's so much more than you used to. She knows just how to move to seduce you. She gon' do the right thing and touch the right spots and dance on your lap till you're ready to pop. She always ready when you want it. She want it like a the info. I show you where to meet her on the late night till daylight. The club jumping. If you want a good time, she gon' give you what you want.
Baby, you're so new age. You're like my new craze. Let's get together, maybe we can start a new phase. This smoke's got the club all hazy. Spotlights.
From 50 Cent and the album called Curtis, IO Technology features guest Justin Timberlake. The album out today, as is the new record from Kanye West, the album called Graduation.
That's how long I've been on ya.
Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a f- what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real s- anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this place. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace. Especially in my pastel on my page. Act like you can't tell who made this new gospel. Homie, take six and take this, haters.
Stronger is from Kanye West's new record, and we are talking with Sasha Frere Jones of The New Yorker and Greg Kot on the phone with us from the Chicago Tribune about these two albums, which have both hit the streets today and on which the future of the music industry appears to be riding. Sales are down 30%. Greg, when I asked Sasha to begin the segment today why we should care, he said, well, you know, if you care about the music business, what if all you care about is the music? You know, what does the release of these two albums portend for the future of the music, of hip-hop in particular?
Well, I think, I think you're offered a pretty clear choice. 50 is basically taking a formula that he perfected on his first record. I mean, it sold 10 million copies and has basically tried to recycle it over three records now. And Kanye West, whatever you think of him, I think has tried to make three, different records. Each time out, he's done something new, for better or worse. I would say this is a flawed Kanye West record. There are problems with it. But I at least sense the guy is trying to do something new and is trying to work out some new issues personally and also sonically. I think sonically it's a very different record from the last one, which was co-produced with John Bryan, much more orchestrated record. This one's much more keyboard heavy. The keyboard textures are key to this record. 50, I felt like I've heard this record three times now. And I think it does, in terms of an artistic choice, an aesthetic choice, I think these records offer listeners two very different scenarios of where hip-hop is going.
So if, as Amazon is suggesting right now, Kanye West is the stronger of the two at number one and 50 Cent trailing at number five, to you that makes a certain amount of sense.
Well, if people are actually listening to the records, I mean, I think Kanye's music, I mean, I think the singles that 50 has released off this record so far have been incredibly disappointing. I thought that that Straight to the Bank song has one of the worst hooks I've ever heard. It's got this laughing hook that is just, by the third time you hear it, you want to stick, pins in your ears, you know? It's just like, wow, this is a guy who made his living writing great songs and great hooks, and it seems like the gift has left him on this record. And Kanye, I have to say, I mean, divorced of the lyrics, I've got issues with him as a rapper and as a lyricist. I think just sonically, this is an interesting sounding record. It's, the hooks are there, they're catchy tunes, and there's a lot of rich melodies on this record.
All right, Sasha, you want to weigh in on the relative merits of each one?
A friend of mine was in my office today, and he said, I think accurately, that combined, they don't have as many good songs as Fergie. So I think that kind of sums up how I feel about them. I got to credit him with that. It's not my line. She has at least two good songs on her record, and I think put together there's one decent single on both records.
And what would that be?
I Get Money, the 50 song.
Okay.
I think Kanye has, if we speak of rappers as we should, as musicians, and they have an instrument, they have a voice. I think 50 has a really interesting instrument, especially because he was shot and he can't open his mouth all the way. He's turned that into sort of into a plus. And on the first record, where he had much better writing and many more interesting stories, it was a really compelling kind of, he was kind of the Lee Marvin of rap, this sort of, like, he wouldn't exactly tell you what he was saying, but he had something to tell you, and it was going to be real dangerous and bad. And, you know, it's gotten tired, but it's still an interesting thing. The sound of Kanye West makes me want to, you know, empty my bank account and move to a place where there is no Kanye West. That Can't Tell Me Nothing single was just, I think, the saddest thing I've ever heard. And then rapping over a Daft Punk song and ruining it the way he ruined a Curtis Mayfield song. I don't, you know, when he was producing early on, and he was really, I think, quite gifted at taking a song you didn't know that well and beefing it up. He did it for Beanie Siegel, he did it for Talib, he did it for Jay-Z. He was good at that. And then he had the funny sped up, you know, vocal sample thing, and that was cool. But the sound of his voice is just unbearable. He's a terrible, terrible rapper, and he's got a lot of good punchlines. He bought a lot of them from other people, but he's pretty good when he does them himself.
But you do like this song. I Get Money from the new 50 Cent record called Curtis.
Southside's up in this bitch. Yeah, I smell like the boat. I used to sell dope. I did play the block. Now I play on boats. In the south of France, baby. Sandro paid, get a tan. I'm already black. Rich, I'm already that. Gangster, get a gang. Hit a head in a hat. Call that a little rap. I chain the big up, bake the bread. A barber, I cut your head. A marksman, I spread a letter. Blood, blood, chop your leg. Knock off with the kid. I get biz with the cig. I can where you live. You dig?
I Get Money is from 50 Cent's record Curtis, and to Sasha Frere Jones' ears, the only worthwhile track on the two records we're talking about today, the new 50 Cent and the new Kanye West record Graduation. Greg Kot is with us on the phone from the Chicago Tribune. And we can make room on the phones for you as well in just a moment. Our phone number is 212-264-7483. 212-264-7483. What do you think? Have you had a chance to hear the records? Are you interested? Are you buying? Why or why not? And is it really fair to put that kind of weight, the weight of expectation of buoying an entire flagging music industry, on two guys, on two records, no matter how well-hyped they might be? So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Sasha Frere Jones and with Greg Kot and with your calls. And when we return, we'll be talking more specifically about Graduation. We heard a little bit from the album Curtis by 50 Cent. And coming up later on Soundcheck, the string quartet Brooklyn Rider talks about their latest piece, Brooklesca, or In the Brooklyn Style. The ensemble will preview that work for us live in our studio. This is Soundcheck.
Welcome to graduation. Good morning.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We continue our conversation about the new albums from Kanye West in the background and 50 Cent. We've been talking about the huge amount of hype that the two artists have generated thanks to an alleged war of words, which is probably more collusion than collision. 50 Cent promised he would retire if his Curtis is outsold by Kanye West's Graduation. We'll see. Joining us in the studio, Sasha Frere Jones, pop music critic for The New Yorker. On the phone is Greg Kot, pop music critic at the Chicago Tribune and co-host of the public radio show Sound Opinions. Greg, you know, I asked our listeners before the break, you know, is it even fair to put the weight of an entire industry on two records, no matter how big the two figures behind them might be? You know, when we look at the quote-unquote future of hip-hop, is Kanye West or 50 Cent, are either of them the future, or are they already kind of, you know, cut from the same cloth as what's come before?
Well, I think the future is, you know, some kid in his basement right now making a record. Hip-hop has got such a short lifespan in terms of individual artists. It's amazing that you can get to three albums and still be kind of a cultural figure the way 50 and Kanye are. That's pretty rare. I mean, most careers burn out much quicker than that in the hip-hop world, and, you know, I guess in pop culture in general these days. So, the future, you know, right now I already sense a sense of, on both of these guys' parts, that, you know, there's a certain amount of, we've heard this, and, you know, what's the next big thing? It's probably not going to be one of these two guys. It's going to be somebody else.
Right.
So it's interesting that this debate is going on now. I think they've both done stronger work in the past, and there's already a sense of, okay, what's the next big thing going to be? And it's probably not going to be one of these two guys.
Sasha, you had actually forwarded to our staff a video clip of Jay Smooth on his blog Ill Doctrine, mm-hmm. in which he likens record executives to crack addicts, and he's basically telling his viewers, his listeners,
right.
to not buy the record because it would be, in the long term, bad for the industry if these records sell gazillions of copies.
Right. His thesis being that the business model of one aspect of the business model itself is corrupt, and you could extend that. I mean, there's a much larger discussion behind this, which is, you know, is it such a bad thing? I mean, it's not even an if. When the music industry collapses, as it is doing now, it's like the scene in the movie where you run out and the building's on fire and the columns start falling and ashes. Like, that's what's happening right now. It's not if, it's when and how. When it falls apart, is that going to be a bad thing? You know, artists signed to contracts that they can never recoup on because their label's spending money that they have to, like, sharecroppers earn back and people paying $18 for two songs. Like, that doesn't sound like such a bad thing to get rid of, you know?
All right, let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners think. Let's begin with Richard, who joins us from the Bronx. Richard, hi.
How are you guys doing?
All right.
Hey.
Yeah, well, my rap pedigree goes, I mean, I've been in the Bronx for over 40 years, but my issue is I'm not buying either one of these records because they don't represent hip-hop creativity. I mean, whether you like Old Dirty Bastard and Wu-Tang, at least they were creative. These guys more so represent the industry right now. I've got rap records that I bought 20-odd years ago. I'm not buying either one because I just don't think they're relevant in terms of where hip-hop is going. Their records really represent now how do the white executives make money off of these two cats. That's the way I see it.
Well, that's an interesting point. The executives, you go far enough up the family tree of both 50 Cent and Kanye West's record companies, you end up Greg Kot at the same place. They're both, when you come right down to it, they're both on the same label, on Universal.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, and it's a good point. I mean, and that's, you know, that goes all the way back to the days when N.W.A. was the hardest, you know, guys from the ghetto, and they're singing about, you know, murder in the streets of Compton, California, but they were putting out records, you know, for a white guy, you know.
It's not entirely
money,
true.
You know? And it was one of those things where I think that's an ongoing issue. But at the same time, you've got 50, who's, you know, a pretty talent. I think 50's greatest talent is as a businessman. Here's a guy whose personal fortune is just unbelievable. I mean, it's, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, he says on his own record,
stanky,
he doesn't
rich.
Rap anymore. He's got so much money. So,
stanky,
you know, 50's not doing so bad himself.
Yeah, and there, it's I understand the caller's concerns, and I don't necessarily disagree, but there are very significant black music record executives within Universal, like Sylvia Rhone and, of course, Jay-Z himself.
Jay-Z, sure.
So, you know, the money's not all trickling upwards just to old white dudes or young white dudes or middle-aged white dudes.
But it is interesting that this alleged clash of the titans, they both have the same manager in a sense.
Oh, yeah, this is totally like whenever, you know, the Andre the Giant faced off with gorgeous whatever. I mean, it's that kind of scripted.
Right.
You know.
All right, so we're talking about the worldwide wrestling of rap with Kanye West and 50 Cent, the new records, and
wrestling matches are a lot shorter, though.
let's go back to the phones. Luke joining us from Brooklyn. Luke, are you buying or not?
Am I buying or not? I may download a few of the singles. I mean, it's a very it's a point. No, not. I mean, whatever. iTunes. I think it was a very good point that you brought up. That they're both on the same label, that this is obviously, you know, like a collusion, as you put it, you know, to generate some sales for these two artists. I agree with both criticisms of the two artists that have been brought up. I mean, I tend to be more interested in 50 Cent as an MC and more interested in Kanye West as, you know, in his tracks and sonically.
As a producer, yeah. Yes. What about, I mean, Sasha, who didn't like either of these records, liked the track I Get Money. What did you think?
Well, there's a very good, I mean, I have to bring up a point about this. This is brings up maybe another issue, but, you know, that track, which I like myself, you know, is a pretty direct ripoff of another song that came out about a year and a half ago by another rapper called Cassidy. There was a big hit song called I'm a Hustler. It's like they use the same drum sounds. He used the same basic formula of a hook from another line of another rapper, and even I think it's even the same tempo. I mean,
yeah, well, that's you know, similar.
Yeah, and at certain points it can be hard to tell. Luke, thanks for the call. It can be hard to tell when someone is paying tribute and when someone is ripping someone off. I mean, there's another song in the 50 Cent record that, you know, clearly seems to be based on an Eminem song. In fact, he's but directly quoting it.
I feel like this is where I got to trot out my, you know. At the end of the day, I don't care. And, you know, who doesn't care is Bob Dylan doesn't care. In Bob Dylan's Chronicles, he makes clear, like every musician ever, that he constantly drew inspiration from other works. And, in fact, when he started, was singing words that were sometimes cribbed from other places over existing American folk tunes. And, like,
right.
That's how he got going. And that's how music works. And people can spend the rest of the time getting hung up on this stuff if they want. It becomes interesting when it's a question of money. And the listener is totally right. That Cassidy tune and the 50 tune are extremely similar. I don't know if Apex produced both tracks. I mean, I think the 50 track is a little bit hotter. But, you know, this is how popular music works. Like, everyone rips everybody off, but it's ripping off really only at the level of money, and that's when things get, you know, Daft Punk are going to be able to buy a couple new houses off of
because of their being
Kanye's
used on,
yeah, mangling of Stronger.
Let's bring Greg Kot back into it. Greg, you speaking of Kanye West, on the new album Graduation, you've said that Can't Tell Me Nothing is one of the best tracks on the record. What do you like about that in particular?
Oh, I thought that was a track where he, you know, he sort of owns up to a lot of the stuff that he's been accused of. What I've liked about Kanye, he's not the greatest rapper, you know, he's a braggart, he's a guy who constantly screws up in public, and then he'll sort of wrestle with this stuff in his music. You know, Can't Tell Me Nothing is a good example, I think, of a track where he's, you know, basically saying, you know, here I am, getting these opportunities, and how do I respond to it by acting more stupidly? He's a guy who's accusing him. You know, he realizes he's owning up to his foibles. And I think one of the things that appeals to me about Kanye as a rapper is not so much the technique, but the admission of vulnerability, the ability to admit that he has weaknesses. You know,
let's hear some of it.
Like he's got,
and what I do, act more stupidly. Bought more jewelry, more Louis V. My mama couldn't get through to me. The drama, people suing me. I'm on TV talking like it's just you and me. I'm just saying how I feel, man. I ain't one of the Cosbys, I ain't go to Hill, man. I guess the money should have changed them. I guess I should have forgot where I came from. You saying something? You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
At times, a startling admission of vulnerability from Kanye West. Can't Tell Me Nothing from his new record, the first of two that are on the top of the charts today. Kanye West's Graduation at number one on Amazon at the moment. 50 Cent following sort of hard on his heels at number five with his new one, Curtis.
Where's Kenny Chesney?
That's what I was just going to ask. The two of
baby.
You. Sasha Frere Jones here in the studio. Greg Cott on the phone from Chicago. There is a third player. And while Kenny Chesney, the country artist,
many players here.
Is probably not going to outsell either of these guys today, over the long haul, he is pretty confident that it's his record that will be the biggest seller.
No doubt. I'd put major money at the end of the year. He will definitely have the bigger number.
What do you think, Greg?
I think it's very likely. Chesney's kind of the dark horse in this because nobody's really talking about his record in the context of the two hip-hop guys, but... you know, Chesney's got this kind of, you know, talk about a hook. He's got this song about, you know, strippers are people too, basically. You know?
And you think that's going to play well in the heartland, huh?
It's the kind of song that just silly enough to be, and it's sentimental enough at the same time to be a huge hit. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does outsell these guys.
All right, well, for today at least, the focus has been on Kanye West and on 50 Cent. But, Kenny Chesney with Never Wanted Nothing More from his new record, Just Who I Am, will play us out. And in a moment, we will be listening to a very different sort of music from the quartet known as Brooklyn Rider. Just like Kanye West, they have been pretty eclectic in their musical influences. We'll find out about the Gypsy and Chinese music that inspired their piece, Brookleska. That's coming up next. This is Soundcheck. Let me thank both Greg Cott and Sasha Frere Jones for being with us.
Thank
you. And our Soundcheck listeners for joining us as well.
My buddies all tried to change my mind, but I told them that I thought it through. Well, Katie laughed and my mama cried when they heard me say I do. A little ring is a little thing, but it's all that I could afford. Now she's mine.